Well, once again, I appreciate the privilege of being able to open up with you the Word of God, to be able to look through a particular passage of Scripture. And so Psalm 121 is the passage that we'll be looking at this morning. And I invite you to turn there with me. I'll be sharing a number of other Scriptures. We won't turn to those, but you might just want to write down the references as I give them this morning. But just for the sake of time, I'll just read them, a lot of those other ones to you. Psalm 121, it's a favorite psalm of mine, as it has kind of been with me, and I've held on to this psalm for years and years. And let me just read it for you first, and then we'll begin to walk through it carefully this morning for about the next half hour or so. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. A couple of introductory thoughts regarding the psalm. We don't know who wrote it. We believe that it was one of those traveler psalms that the Israelites sung, quoted on their way to Jerusalem from one of the three annual feasts of the year, and that this is one of those psalms. It's also a psalm we can call a song of degrees, that you will see that it builds upon itself as we go through the psalm. It's almost like a musical crescendo that takes place through each of these sections we'll be looking at. And so it builds one upon the other as perhaps the travelers got closer to Jerusalem, the excitement of being there for worship, for one of these annual feasts, grew within them. And they realized that what they were doing was coming before the Lord to worship Him in a matter of service and obedience before Him. So let's look at it in these four sections this morning. First of all, and we'll spend probably the majority of our time here, the Lord is our helper. The Lord is our helper. I'll lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Now there's a couple of thoughts here, that what are these hills that are referred to? Well, some will say, and I think it's a viable explanation, that the hills are referring to Jerusalem. And as the pilgrims made their way to Jerusalem, they said, I'll lift up my eyes to the hills, to where Jerusalem is, because there's where my help is. My help is when I go to the temple and I offer my sacrifices and I worship. My relationship with the Lord is renewed, and there is my help. The other way to look at the hills is the one that I hold on to, that the hills are pagan. And it's a question the travelers are asking themselves. I'll lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Does it come from the high places of where our ancestors worshipped? Does it come from pagan gods? Does it come from those offer of sacrifices to other deities? Where does my help really come from? Does it help come from the gods of the nations that surround us, that try to implore us to worship as they do? Where does our help come from? And the response is very clear. No, my help comes from the Lord, from Jehovah, who made the heavens and the earth, the creator of all that is. And my friends, there's nothing else that we can look to for our absolute help. And this is where we must begin today and throughout our lives, that our help comes from Jehovah God, creator of all that there is. Oh, it's good to seek counsel from others, from parents, from children, from co-workers, from counselors, from theologians, pastors, professors. It's good to seek counsel from them, and they may provide good counsel and good help in varying ways for the needs of our lives. But the foundation for all of our help we must recognize comes from the Lord, and our trusting in Him. Because you see, if He is the Creator, and I believe that He is, then consider the power which he has to help us in every one of our needs. If he's able to create the all worlds and all that we know of creation by the very breath of his mouth, if he's able to speak and all is put into place, if he's able to know of the beginning to the end, is he not then able to help us and the situations that we find ourselves in our lives? So we must begin with the eternal, sovereign, creator God, the source of all help for all of our needs, that we look to him. So the Lord helps us in three ways I'll suggest to you this morning. Oh, there's many more ways, but we'll just summarize it in these three. Well, I got to get a clicker, don't I? Oh, you're already there. You're doing it for me. That's maybe a good thing, because I don't know. Oh, here's the clicker. See, I'm not used to this. Okay, let's see. Which way do I go? Thank you, Toby.
You have to turn it on.
I have to turn it on. Oh, that's the little green button. No, maybe it's not the green button. Hey, Mason, can you just click it as you figure it out? He's got it. Okay, I don't have to even think about it. I like that. You're all right, Mason. So the Lord helps us, first of all, in our salvation. This is where we must begin. Every believer, every individual needs a Savior. We come before a holy and righteous God, and we know that we're sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23 and 6:23. But in hearing the gospel of salvation, in hearing that Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, to live a life upon the earth as a man, to die on the cross for us, makes all the difference in the world. To recognize John 1:14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory full of grace and truth. And knowing 1 Corinthians 15, where it says to us, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, was raised again the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that is our greatest need. That's where we must begin, to recognize that only Jesus Christ can address the sin problem of our lives. Only he can provide the cleansing of our sin. Only through his shed blood is there forgiveness of sins. Only through him is the perfect atonement that we need. For we realize without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, there is no forgiveness of sin. And Jesus Christ is the perfect Lamb upon the perfect altar of God, sacrificed himself, gave himself freely for us, we might be redeemed. And that's where we must begin. I think it's important for us to go back and to remember and think about the very foundation from which we are, to recognize that the Lord, as our helper, saw us in the very depth of sin, unable to do anything about sin, helpless, miserable, blind, lost, bound for an eternal judgment, and only he in love could save us. For God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love by which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's not of yourselves, it's the very gift of God, Ephesians 2. To recognize this alone should be sufficient to humble us, to come before him in worship, to desire to know him greater, to love him more, as we begin to realize again and just refresh our memories from the foundation that our Lord, from before the foundations of the world, knew us, chose us, adopted us into his family, that Christ came for us, died for us, that we might be forgiven and have relationship with the Father in heaven. The Lord is our helper in salvation. There's so much more we could say, you know that. The Lord is our helper, and he assures us of his help. The Lord is our help, he assures us of his help. We're never left alone. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 26, Jesus said to his disciples, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Another helper, the Holy Spirit of God. In verse 26, it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, when He comes, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring you into remembrance all that I've said to you. The Helper, the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed at the very moment of your redemption, indwelt by the Spirit of God, sealed by the Spirit of God, to assure us that we will never, ever be left alone without one to help us in every area of our lives. And that's a good thing. Thirdly, the Lord helps us in every situation. He's able to help us through all of our troubles, all of our difficulties, all of our sorrows, all of our joys, the days of ease. Help us to endure, to keep going, that we might live in harmony with His will. For that should be the great desire of each one of us as the children of God. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that should be our desire, to walk in harmony with His will. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's the very first step, as we talked about already. But to be desire, then, to walk in harmony with His will in all things, considering the Lord, the Creator, our Helper, the Holy Spirit indwelling within us, all intimately involved in our lives to bring us into conformity with Jesus Christ. And in doing that, He will provide for all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. But you might say, as I say at times, I don't feel His help. I wonder where He's at. Is He really helping me? I'm struggling right now. Lord, I've called on You for help, but I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't know if You're answering my prayers. I feel lost. I'm confused. I don't know what to do. I feel all alone. And when that happens, we need to stop and ask ourselves the question of, what are we doing? Are we trusting the Lord to fulfill His promises, to always be true to His word, to always be faithful? Or are we looking for His help in the wrong place, in the wrong way? Are we looking for Him to help us in the way that we want, and the way that we deem best, and the way that we think He should? Are we going to trust Him for the fact that He will help us in the way He deems best, and the way He knows what is best? So we come to the book of Hebrews in chapter 4. It says, since we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has passed through the heavens, let us hold fast our confession. Hold fast, hold on to strongly that which you say you believe. That which I say I believe. Hold on to that which we know to be true in Scriptures. For we do not have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows us. Remember, He created us. He formed us in our mother's womb. He knit us together before any part of us was ever fashioned. He knows all about us. But He has been tempted also in every way that we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw with confidence to the throne of grace, that we might find grace and mercy to help us in times of need. And friends, that's an act of faith. That's an act of trusting, believing that God is able to do what He says He will do. My help does not come from the hills. It doesn't come from the things of the earth or the vain philosophies or theological ideas of man, but rather it comes from what I cannot grasp. It comes from what I cannot see. It comes from the Lord, and it's a choice of faith to move forward on this journey of life to the eternal Jerusalem, trusting Him. Thomas read for us this morning that passage from 2 Peter chapter 1. His divine power has granted to us everything we need for life and godliness. Can I then trust the fact that He'll help me in every situation of my life? If He has said to me and promised to me He'll provide everything I need for life and godliness, can I rest in Him and rest in that promise to be absolutely true? To be able to pray, not necessarily, Lord, heal my disease. Not necessarily to pray, Lord, give me strength because I'm just tired. Not necessarily to pray, Lord, help me to remember certain things or whatever the situation might be, but to pray as God would have us to pray for an understanding of His working in our lives. And Life Group, we've been going through Colossians. Been going through Colossians for several weeks, and we've only gotten to about verse 13 or 14 at this point, in chapter 1. But that first section talks about the prayer of Paul for the people of Colossae. And I've encouraged the fact, let's pray this prayer. As Paul prayed for the church, he didn't necessarily pray for the things that we so often pray about for each other, although there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not suggesting that by any means. But he prayed that they might grow. Let me read that prayer for you. Paul says in the middle of verse 9 in chapter 1 of Colossians, he says, I ask that, Lord, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing him in every way. See, that should be our prayer. Lord, help us that we might walk in a manner pleasing to you in every way in all that we do, and that we would bear fruit in every good work and increase in your knowledge, that we would be strengthened with all power, the power of the God of creation, we'd be strengthened with all power for all endurance, for all patience, and with joy, being able to be thankful, to give thanks to you, who has qualified us through the person of Jesus Christ, qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the very kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, that's our prayer. Lord, help us. Help us to keep our eyes focused and to look straight ahead upon you and upon who you are. To fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author of Hebrews told us in chapter 12. Our help comes from him in all the times of our lives. Not just the times of sorrow and stress and distress and all of those negative things we look at, but also to recognize when all is going well, he's our greatest help in every situation. And all the successes and all the joys when we're celebrating, resting, relaxing, whatever it is, when loneliness is far absent, we're surrounded by family and friends, the Lord is our helper. And may we pray today, Lord, might I trust you as my helper? Might I trust you to help me, knowing I'm not alone, that you have indwelt me for purpose, and everything that I need today will be given by your gracious hand, that I might live in a way that's pleasing to you. We need to go on. The Lord is our protector. The intensity of the psalm increases some as we realize the Lord is not only our helper, but he's our protector. Notice what it says in verses 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's our protector. It does not mean that he will protect us from every difficult situation of life, from every temptation of life, from every danger of life. But he will protect us as a shepherd watches over his sheep. The Lord will watch over us and protect us from all evil. Not necessarily the difficult things of life, but we think about the eternal evils, that he'll hold on to us and keep us as his own. And notice what it says then. He keeps us from falling. He's going to protect our feet. He will not let your foot be moved. Not saying we're going to just be in a stationary place, but in the place we are, he will hold us and protect us. He will and hold us firm. He will not let our foot be moved. He will hold us firm on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He will hold on to us and protect us, ensuring that we are on secure ground on the foundation of his word that he's given to us. He'll hold on to us and protect us that we don't totter. We don't sway back and forth. We're not shaken when faced with the troubles and difficulties. He'll hold on to us and protect us that we don't weaken when the weight is so heavy upon us. He'll hold on to us and protect us when we're faced with temptations, with the most difficult and compelling temptations that seem to be drawing us away from the Lord. He's able to open our eyes that we might see the awfulness of sin and cling to the cross of Jesus Christ in which he fell, to protect us so we don't have to fall into sin's evil trap. He'll hold on to us and protect us to ensure that we are on sure footing when there's nothing but mud, it seems, all around us. He will hold on to and protect us regardless of the circumstances around us. We will not, so that we will not crumble. He'll hold on to us and protect us when life is at ease, so we don't become complacent and forget that the Lord our God is our helper and our protector. But we must trust him. That's our responsibility. God's going to do his part, but we must trust him. We must believe that he will. As his own, he will never let anyone snatch us out of his hand. Remember what Jesus said? The Father, he says, I give them eternal life, he says, the Father. They will never perish. No one will ever snatch them out of my Father's hand. I'm going to hold on to them tightly, protect us from eternal peril, from eternal judgment, from eternal dangers, protecting me from doubting his goodness, his power, his love, his grace, his mercy. I love the lyrics of the song written by Keith Getty. It begins by this: when I fear, my faith will fall. What? Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold, yet he will hold me fast, protect me. Those he saves are his delight, Christ will hold me fast. Precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Bought by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. He'll protect my feet from falling. He'll protect us in every moment of our lives. I get tired. I doze off. Never in church. That's why I drink coffee during one of my greatest fears would I'd fall asleep while I was preaching one day. Hasn't happened yet. I doze off, though. I get tired. I get weary. I like to sleep. I push the snooze button on the alarm when the alarm is set. You know? But to think, our Lord never tires. He never sleeps. He never dozes off. He never slumbers. He's always alert, always knowing us, always protecting us, always helping us in every moment of our lives. Remember the scenario with Elijah and the priests of Baal, Mount Carmel? And they built the two altars and offered the sacrifices, and Elijah said, "The God who is God, let him answer by fire." And the priests of Baal cried out to Baal all morning long, asking him to show himself powerful and to come down with fire. And around noontime or so, Elijah mocks him. Remember what he says? He says, cry aloud, for he's a god. Either he's musing, or maybe he's relieving himself. That's interesting. Or maybe he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and must be awakened. See, the things of this world, the gods of this world, the things that take our attentions, that we rely upon so heavily in our lives, they can do nothing. My help, my protection comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And he knows us so perfectly. Nothing is hidden from him. Psalm 139, you know it well. Oh Lord, you've known me and you've searched me. You know when I sit down, you know when I rise up, you discern my thoughts from afar. You know my path, my lying down, are acquainted with all my ways, even before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it all together. He knows everything about us. Sometimes we like that, and we should like that as believers in Jesus Christ, to know that we are never out of his sight. But when we have chosen sin, we just assume he not know us. But be thankful He does know us. Because the Holy Spirit within, He convicts us to bring us back to Himself, that we might be convicted and seek repentance and forgiveness of that sin and be drawn to Him. He knows everything. And that psalm goes on to say, "You hem me behind and before. You lay your hand upon me." It's almost like, we'll go back to the sheep story here in a sense. There's that sheep gate, the sheep fencing. And the Lord says, "I put my guard about you. The evil one is not going to hurt you." Oh, you might be hurt in life. Things may be hurtful. But the evil one, it cannot hurt you. He cannot take you out of the sheep pen. He cannot remove you. He cannot destroy you. You are mine. I put my guard of protection around you. Every day of your life, our responsibility is to stay in the sheep pen, to stay under His watchful care. And the great assurance that He knows us through all the days of our lives. So we pray, "Lord, help me to trust Your protection. Believe that regardless of what happens in my life, You will protect me." Well, we need to move on quickly now to the last four verses. Okay? The Lord is our keeper. And just think of the truths here, if you would. The Lord is our keeper. The Lord is your shade upon your right hand, verse 5. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from your all evil. He will keep your life. And take that pilgrim song as it heightens once more in that crescendo drive here. And that He will help us, He'll protect us, and He will keep us as the great keeper of our lives. And I like to think of Isaiah 49 where it says, "Behold, I've engraved you on the very palms of my hands. Your walls, your vulnerabilities, your boundaries, your abilities are continually before me. I know you. You're right there." And I like to think about the fact and, you know, just my image that Jesus Christ looks on the palm of His hand and what does He see? He sees a nail print. And when He sees the nail print, what does He remember? That nail print is there because He died, shed His blood for me. And He says, "I remember you. I'm going to hold you tight in the very palm of my hand. I died for you and I'm going to keep you." He keeps us in the presence of trials, through every trial situation we face in life. The tempter will seek to destroy us, but the Lord is going to keep us and hold on to us carefully. Isaiah 43 says, "But thus says the Lord, He who created you, He who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name and you are mine." And believer, to remember, your name is where? Written down in the very Lamb's Book of Life. Never to be erased, never to be removed. He said, "I'm going to keep you there." He says, "When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. Walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." I recently read a devotional from a friend who talked about this word through. When you go through the waters, when you go through the rivers, when you pass through the fire, he says through has three parts to it. Oh, well, that's interesting. There's the into part of through. You go into, then you're in the through, and then you come out of it. Think about that for a minute. The Lord is with us when we go into that difficult situation of life, into the fire, into the waters, into that which seems to be overwhelming us every way of our lives. The Lord is with us when we go into it. And through every step through that trial, that difficulty, that circumstance, that situation of life, He will be with us to keep us as His own. And He'll be with us to keep us as we come out of it, preparing us for the next step of life. Hold on to that truth. He hasn't forgotten you. He will keep you. He will keep you in the presence of trials. He will keep you from all evil. "Even though I walk the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." He will keep me from all evil, because there's no temptation which has seized you, which is not common to man. But God is faithful, and he'll never be tempted above what you're able, but will with that temptation provide a way out that you can endure it, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Verse 12, before that, talks about our responsibility. He says, take heed, be careful that you don't fall. Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. We talked about that earlier. Remember who your helper is. Remember who your protector is. And he will keep you. He will keep you in all the seasons of life. He's a shade upon your right hand. The sun will not harm us. The moon will not overwhelm us. He will shadow over us to keep us all the days of our life. Our days are numbered. The enemy can't do anything about that. No matter how long our days are, how short our days are, the Lord has them numbered. No one, nothing, no situation will ever take us before his appointed time. And I can rest assuredly in that. The Lord will keep us throughout my life. My responsibility, trust him, Lord. So I pray, help me to trust you more. Help me to trust you as my keeper, that you'll never let me go through every situation of life. That you'll be my security, my fortress, my safety. Well, we'll finish up here. The Lord is my hope. The Lord will keep your going out from this time forth and forevermore. Our security, our preserver, our hope. The Lord is our hope. The intentionality of the psalm now grows once again if we were to hear a choir singing this. They would come to this great crescendo that says, the Lord is, it will keep you. You're going out, you're coming in now. Nothing will ever be taken from you that belongs to the Lord, your God, as he has called you to himself. He'll provide everything you need for life and godliness. We've talked about every situation, every step, every breath. He will keep you. But the great part of all of this, through whatever we have to go through, whatever our journey looks like upon this earth, he'll keep us from this time forth and forevermore. And we have that great hope waiting for us, that there is more to life than what we see here. We're here for such a short time, basis of all eternity. Having known us from before the foundations of the world, will keep us throughout all eternity, that someday, when the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds. There will be with the Lord forever. Hold on to that. And Paul says, comfort each other with those words. Be encouraged with that. For the Lord will keep you. He'll be your helper, your protector, your keeper, our hope for all eternity, for today and forever. So our consideration, are we trusting him to be who he says he is? Are we trusting his word? Are we resting in his promises? As we walk that road to the eternal Jerusalem, to live and to worship him, may we keep our eyes fixed upon him. I'm going to ask that we read together this psalm. And if you just stand with me and let's just read it together. And I would encourage you to take this psalm and to read it by yourselves and to personalize it. We won't try to do that here with these words, but to personalize and say, the Lord is my helper. He keeps his eye over me. Okay, let's read together Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Father, help us to to remember your truth, to rest in your truth, to live in your truth, and to walk in a manner that pleases you with our eyes fixed upon Jesus, the author and the protector of our faith. We commit ourselves today to you in his wonderful, glorious, redemptive name. Amen.